I am so honored to be here. This is great. 25th anniversary. Man, you know, most religious organizations, by the 25th anniversary, their meeting is more like a wake, where they just simply talk about the great past. But you guys, man, you're not even getting weak yet. This is great. Not even sick. And I love what's happening now and in the future for you. Praise the Lord. I also am, since I'm kind of a mixture of Irish and English, God help me. It's great to see great to see you guys back there. I did a retreat. I was just in Scotland in November, but I did a retreat in Ireland. The first time I went to Ireland for a men's retreat, and about halfway through it, I stopped and I said, "Now I know I truly am Irish. You guys are crazy." But this is delightful. I just had one thing here I got to show you. I spotted it. I've kept it in my Bible. Last weekend, I forget where I was, Washington. But I flew on Alaska Airlines up there. Now, Alaska Airlines is the only airline I know that will put a scripture portion on your plate when they serve you a meal. And I have kept all of those and cherished that. But last weekend, I found this on my luggage, an Alaska Airline thing. It says, "Heavy. Bend your knees." And I thought, there's a double meaning there. Wow. I am grateful to you guys, too. I know some of you are here who have been ministry to me. When I lived in West Covina, California, about less than an hour from here, some of you guys visited my house three times. Once, I think maybe the first time, was to take my wife to the hospital, and then the second time was to put out a fire. No, the second time was, it was an accident out there. But they came one time to actually put out a fire at my house in my absence. But one time they came, and I just delight in the fact that there are so many of the firefighters who've come to know the Lord through your ministry. But an accident had happened on the street out in front of my house, and the kid who was the cause of it, 15-year-old, was I helped him get out and on the ground, and he was laying there, and I was talking to him and praying for him. And then the firemen came, you know, the ambulance and all of the fire truck and everything. Well, it was summertime, and I'm in my shorts and have sandals on, and I'm standing out in front of my house drinking a glass of tea. And I noticed those guys looking at me, the firemen looking at me. And, you know, tea at a distance doesn't always look like tea. And finally, one of them came over and said, "Are you Gail Irwin?" I said, "Yeah." "What are you drinking?" I said, "Tea. Would you like a glass?" "Oh, boy, I'm glad to know that. We were just standing over there thinking, that guy has no right to look that much like Gail Irwin and be drinking beer." You know? Well, I have some good news and some bad news for you today. Let me give you the bad news first, okay? Now, I'm going to quote you some scripture. You've probably heard this. The first one is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment." Bad news. In fact, I heard one guy complain about that. He said, "Yeah, we're born hard, we live hard, we die hard, and we still go to hell." You know, well, facts is facts, you know. But there's more bad news. Listen to this, Romans 6:23. "The wages of sin is death." You know, I read these and I just go, groan. In fact, let's all groan together. Ready? Groan. Now, that's not really what I want to talk about this morning. You just need to know that in order to understand the rest of what I want to say. In fact, really, I got to surround what I want to say with some parentheses. The opening part of the parentheses occurs in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, very famous verses. A new commandment, Jesus speaking, says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one to another." Now, to be honest with you, when I first really saw that scripture, it was not good news to me. Because, well, to be honest with you, love is not my strong area. I'd much rather keep the rules. Look, I'll keep 11 commandments. We'll even negotiate 12, but don't make me love people. And he had said, "I've authorized the world to check you out, to see if you're mine." Ooh, I don't like that. Have you ever heard anyone say, "You can't judge me, you just see the outside. God sees my heart." When I first moved to this county, actually, in California, the house we bought had a peach tree in the yard, which I was delighted about because I like peaches. And we lived there for 5 years, and you know that peach tree looked like a peach tree? Smell like a peach tree? Just never had a peach. And I had decided, I'm going to cut this thing down, but what if I came at it with a hatchet and it spoke to me and said, "Don't cut me down. In my heart, I'm a peach tree." Why don't you ever take a picture when I'm dignified? "Well, I didn't plant you for peach hearts." And then he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Ooh. Now, when I think of the love of God, I think of getting crucified, you know. And frankly, that never has excited me personally. But when Jesus said this, he had not yet been crucified. And he's talking past tense. He says, "I want you to love one another as I already have love you." Well, how had he loved them? Interestingly enough, this chapter begins with these words. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And what did he do? He got up and did the lowest servant job there. John White mentioned an outstanding book that I highly recommend to you called The Jesus Style. So I wrote it. By the way, be honest with me. How many of you have not read The Jesus Style? Oh. You do want to go to heaven. But to both of you who have read it, you know that I believe Jesus was the one truly others-centered person. And in that others-centeredness, servant-heartedness, he says, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." We see what he's calling us to be in love. Okay, that's the opening parenthesis. Now it's time to get to some really good news. And I want to read to you some verses from Romans chapter 4 and chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 3, where Paul asks an interesting question, which I take slightly out of context. He says, "For what does the Scripture say?" Now, that's my question, too. I want to know what the Scripture has to say. I appreciate Ann Landers very much, but I don't wake up every morning thinking, "I can't just make it until I hear what Ann has to say for today." And I'm not interested in the latest gurus or even in the stars and what they might have to say. In fact, I know what the stars have to say. They say, "He made me. He made me." And if any of you read your horoscope, Let me tell you how to know whether you got a good one or not. If every day it says, here's how you can come to know Jesus as your Savior, you've got a good one. If it says anything else, they're ripping you off. But Paul asks, just what does the Scripture have to say? And then he quotes it. He says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. I like that. He believed God, and God says, that's righteous. Now, to him who works, and the next verse says, and this isn't talking about working to make a living. It's talking about people trying to work their way to heaven. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Now, we've already heard about wages. By the way, you know, there actually are people who believe they can work their way to heaven. There really are. You know what? You can. It's real simple. All you have to be is perfect. We're in trouble, aren't we? See, if ever in your past you disobeyed your parents, it's all over. If ever you had a bad thought, it's all over. If ever you came to a stop sign and oozed across, it's all over. Some of you might remember the Smith Barney ads where they had hired this British guy, and I liked his style, to advertise for them, and he makes this statement. We make our money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Remember that? I've reworded that for spiritual application. We go to hell the old-fashioned way. We earn. But then he goes on and says, but to him who does not work, and this isn't talking about working to make a living, but instead believes on him who justifies the ungodly. I like that word. Ungodly. See, a lot of people think that God justifies the sweet people. And he would if he could find any. But the fact is, you know, a lot of people think we Christians are just a bunch of namby-pamby, panty-waist people that don't have any idea what's going on. But we know better. We know that we are a collection of ungodly people who have been redeemed and changed. It's glorious to him. Those who believe in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Oh, I read this and it just makes my innards go, ah. In fact, let's say that together. Ready? Ah. All right. Now, verse 6. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And he quotes the scripture again, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Lawless deeds, you guys? Yeah, I took one look at you and I knew. Bunch of lawbreakers, all I have to say is 55. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or blame sin. Folks, this is known as good news. Let's say that together. Ready? Good news. Now, verse 13. For the promise, and he's talking about Abraham, by the way, in here, to whom God had given this phenomenal promise, you know, that he was going to have a son, and he didn't have any children. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, in other words, if you can work your way to heaven, then faith is worthless, made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now you guys know that if they had no speed limits out on the freeways, they wouldn't write any tickets. But the moment they write a law, you better print ticket books.
because they're going to be writing tickets. And it doesn't matter what it is. We can't write a law that we don't break. And every time you write a law, you better write a ticket book, because we're going to be writing tickets. And they may put a ridiculous sign out there, like 110 miles an hour. And you know what? Immediately, we're doing 109. And then we begin to think, you know, this car has 27 cylinders. Never really checked it out. I think I will. Zoom! Here we go. And now, though, Farfig Newton is over. The joy of driving has ended. We're now looking in the rearview mirror, man, and we're checking. Because we know they're out there. And we know they know. And we know we're going to get it. But we still do it. It's an amazing thing. There's just something about us human beings. If somebody says don't, we say, don't what? In fact, the Chinese have a proverb that handles this, I think, quite well. They say, whip a child at the end of a day. If you don't know why, he does. The law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, and this is really my subject, if you want to call it something today, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, to everybody, not only those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Folks, this is another ah. Ready? Ah. Now, verse 19. And not being weak in faith, still talking about Abraham, he, Abraham, did not consider his body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know anybody that's 100? What do they look like? Abraham, can you speak a little louder? Abraham, oh, hi, God. Abraham, I have good news for you. Oh, really, what? You're going to have a son. That's good. You think I'm old, you ought to see my wife. And it was a source of laughter. In fact, out of that, they named their son Isaac, or Isaac, which in the Hebrew would be the sound of laughter. Itzhak, Itzhak, Itzhak. Like when we, if he were an American, we'd call him, this is my son. Now, I'm not 100, but I have had a doctor tell me our next child he would deliver free. But Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Oh, I love this. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced, see, here's his secret, being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. I look at that, and I just go, wow! In fact, say it with me. Ready? Wow! Now, verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was given or imputed to him. I love this. You know, when you pick up your morning newspaper, it's already so old. But when you pick up the Bible, oh, how did it know what was happening today? So this wasn't written just for them back then, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead and who was delivered up because of our offenses. If anyone ever asks you, who do you think killed Jesus? Point to yourself. But he didn't leave him there and was raised because of our justification. Oh, oh, oh. Folks, this is too good. In fact, let's say that. Ready? Too good. Oh, but wait, there's more. You ever watch any of those infomercials? They always say that. But wait, there's more. With two, you get steak knives. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man. There are two things about this. There's the peace of God, and there's peace with God. Now, the peace of God, Paul describes that as passing understanding. And that's true, isn't it? We can't describe it. We just know we got it. But it's also a peace that the world attempts to, and to some degree succeeds, in counterfeiting, sometimes by occultish means, most frequently probably by chemical means, you know. Oh, I'm at peace. You know. Just don't let me drive. But that comes to a swift and destructive end. But the peace of God never destroys. It kind of has a super glue character about it, too. Hangs around. And then there's peace with God. Now, I have to confess to you, there was a time in my life when I did not understand that, and I thought that God loved me, but he didn't like me, you know? That if he had 30 spare minutes, he'd spend it with John White, not with me. I thought that when my name came up in heaven, you could see God's jaws tighten. Erwin, where is that boy when I catch him? But no, now I understand. Now I have this incredible relationship with the Lord. Me and him are really tight. In fact, I'm his favorite. But you're right after me. Don't let it bother you, you know. Well, but there's even more. Listen to this. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith. Now, into this grace in which we stand. Now, everyone wants connections, access. I'm a name dropper. I know anyone famous. You're going to find out. A few minutes ago, as I was talking with John White, oh, you know John White. Oh, yeah. We're old friends. We've been embarrassed on airplanes together. But let me tell you, folks, we don't have to head for City Hall. We don't even head for Sacramento. We don't even slow down in Washington, D.C. We go straight to the top. Yes, this morning as I was talking with God, oh, you know God? Oh, yeah, we're old friends. We talk a lot. In fact, I'm his favorite. You know what? The Bible authorizes us to boast in that one area that we know God. Awesome. So we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This thing called joy is a strange thing. We can't understand that either. We just know it's there. To me, it's like this container inside me that's under pressure and it says on it, danger. Could go off at any time. And sometimes when things are really tough around me, it does go off. And I'm joying all over the place, you know, and people wonder, what's wrong with them? In fact, I have some friends from this area who started a software company. Now, they write it. They don't write for my computer. They don't even understand my computer. They write for the big guys. And once when they had finished a job for a Fortune 500 company, the president of that company came to their office and said, I want to talk to you privately. Okay, so they came in, shut the door, and he sat down, and he looked at my friend and said, all right, what is it with you? My friend said, what are you talking about? Just what I said. What is it with you? My friend said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, look, for the last 6 months, me and my company have put you and your company through hell, but every time we come here, you guys have this joy. What are you on? My friend said, oh, I see what you're talking about now. And he just took the time to carefully explain to him who Jesus was and what he had done in his life. And that CEO laid his head on my friend's desk and wept his way into the kingdom of God. You got to watch out for this thing called joy. So we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and we also glory in tribulation. I know, we don't really. That's a tough one. I look at that and I think, I believe the Bible, I just have trouble with the verses. We don't tend to glory a whole lot in tribulation. If it comes, you know, we're wondering, what did I do wrong? What's God trying to teach me? No. In fact, sometimes, you've probably heard this, people say, you need to pray for me. They're persecuting me on my job. They're lying about me and they're mocking me. They're making fun of me all the time. Please pray that I'll just hold out. But you know, Jesus, in what we call the Beatitudes, ends it with some statements three times as long as any of the others. He says, blessed or happy. I mean, it was a coin toss for the translators whether that would be blessed or happy. Happy are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's what he said. We never hear people say, oh, I have a report to give you. This is wonderful. They are persecuting me on my job. They are lying about me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I love Paul the Apostle. You know, he had a vision right after he became a follower of the Lord, not long after, that was so great he had to actually be given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being elevated, from being conceited about it. Now that says to me that it was embarrassing. It was something that would have kept him off of television. Yeah. And it might have been, we don't know for sure, but it might have had, there's a clue or so, that it might have had something to do with his eyes. And it could be that they ran kind of like a snotty nose all the time, you know, and you think, oh, Paul, wipe your eyes. But one thing God told him early in his ministry was what he was going to have to suffer for him. Now, how would you like to know that ahead of time? Do you suppose that God said, Paul, there's a jailer and his family in Philippi that I really want to have get saved, but for it to happen, I've just got to have the tar beat out of you. Is that okay? Can you hear Silas saying, do I have to travel with him? But here they are, in the middle of the night, in this jail in Philippi, and trust me, jails then and there were not like jails here and now. It's midnight, it's dark. What did they do? I know what I would do. I'd complain. God, I gave up everything for you. I was big stuff out in the world. I gave all of that up for you. Look at this. Here I am in this jail. And I don't even know where my Mercedes is. I know. I think. They didn't do that. The Bible says they sang. They sang. I don't know what they sang. Maybe I'll be a sunbeam or Jesus loves me. I don't know. But they sang. Now, frankly, I don't want to go to jail, but I do want to be in touch with what made those guys sing, you see. Now, if Jesus tarries, and I hope he doesn't, but if he does, we in this country, I think, are probably going to be facing some persecution like we've not seen before. But I also believe that when that happens, we will also discover some joys that we've not experienced before in the Lord. So we rejoice, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Hey, that's good. And perseverance produces character. Hey, that's good. And character produces hope. Hey, that's good. In fact, this is good news. Ready? Good news. Now, folks, anything this good, there has to be a cost. Nothing's free, you know that. Aren't we going to take up an offering? No? No, don't worry. No offering. But there is a cost, and I need to share it with you and be real honest with you. I'm going to quote some other scripture to you outside of Romans here. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, for he who promised is faithful." Now, there's an energy level there, isn't there? A hold fast kind of thing, you know. An output of energy, you might say. But one of my favorite little areas of Scripture is found in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul makes this incredible statement. It says, "You who once were alienated from God and enemies in your minds because of your wicked works." Isn't that interesting? We do bad stuff and then get mad at God. You ever heard anyone say, "How can there be a God with all the wars going on?" Like God started them? "How can there be a God with all the babies dying?" Like God killed them? But we do. In fact, let me kind of show you. My wife and I, two summers ago, took a vacation, and we drove back to Alabama, Mississippi to visit family. And to drive there and back, you have to go through West Texas. You know, where they invented the mile and kept most of them. And you just set your cruise control fast enough that nobody runs over you. But on the way back, as we were not too far from El Paso, I failed to take note that the truck drivers had slowed way down. So I happily zoomed around them, only to see in my rearview mirror, well, I pulled over and stopped. Texas Ranger pulled over and stopped and got out and walked up to my car. You know. Now, what I am about to tell you is not what I said. But it is what I thought. I got mad at him. I wanted to say to him, "If you guys were out catching criminals like you're supposed to, you wouldn't be stopping people like me who merely broke the law." This is perfect illustration of this. I did the bad stuff, and I got mad at him because of it. And Paul says, you know, we were enemies of God in our minds because of our wicked works. So how does God get even with us for this? What does he do when he says, "Look at those people, they've done bad stuff, and he got mad at me"? I'll show them. And here's what he does to show us. "Yet now he has reconciled you." Oh, reconciled. "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and without accusation in his sight." Oh, folks. He presents us holy. I hope you know that your holiness is as much a product of his grace as your salvation is. You can't make yourself holy any more than you make yourself saved. He does it for us, and I'm so glad. Our righteousness, you know, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Now, that's hard to explain nowadays. It's kind of like deciding that in the month of August you're going to hike every trail in California, and for the entire month of hiking you do not change your underwear. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? And at the end of the month you run that up a flagpole for everyone to see your hole in it. So he presents us holy, and he presents us without accusation. Now, I love this. One of the things the Bible calls the devil is the accuser of the brethren. When I was a kid, every street I ever lived on had someone who was constantly saying, "I'm going to tell, I'm going to tell." And I hated that because there was always something to tell on me. And that's what Satan does to us. He's constantly, "I'm going to tell, I'm going to tell." Jesus says, "Already know, already forgiven," you know. Now, this is good stuff. What's the price of this? You ready? Here it is. If you continue in the faith. Aha!
grounded, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel of good news. There it is. I'm hanging on.
When I was a kid, I had a little pet bulldog named Buster. He wasn't a pit bull. I don't know where those things came from, but he looked like he had hit a wall at about 50 miles an hour. And it was nice having something in the house uglier than me, you know? But Buster introduced me to the concept of the bulldog grip. You know how it is. You can shake a rag in their face. They've got it. And you can, I could pull him across the lawn. He'd plow up. Now I could pick him up. You know, I could swing him around here. In fact, I had a friend, and I believe this guy, said he had a pup like that. I said, I could take him to town with me. All I needed was a few feet of rope. He said, if I needed to go in a store, I'd just shake one end in his face, and I'd tie the other one to a post. He said, I could come out 30 minutes later. And still, yeah, yeah. Now, what am I trying to say? Just this. This relationship with God is so good. So wonderful, man. So valuable. This ministry that he has given us is so great that I don't want to just say, that's nice. No. And Satan will say, oh, no, and they say, oh, yeah, and we'll plow it down. He can pick us up. That's all right, man. Swing it over. Because this is so valuable, I want to hang on. Let's say that together. Ready? Hang on. All right. Hey, where are we? Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint. By the way, hope and faith are frequently interchanged in the New Testament because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad that when they send you out to fight a fire, they don't deliver to you a box of eyedroppers and a gallon of water? Go for it, guys. And aren't you glad that God doesn't deal with us with eyedroppers? He doesn't say, oh, you need the Holy Spirit? You need the love of God? Oh, sorry, I missed. No, and I think of you in this, that if there is one thing you guys do, you just really pour it out, man. And the thought of, you see, every little kid looks at what you do and he thinks, I want to be that man with the power of that water under pressure, pouring it out and doing something good out there, you know. And when I hear that you gave away 1 million tapes a year, and God pours out His Holy Spirit on us, and not only that, but His love has been given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not for sweet people. Couldn't find any. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still maggots. Sinners, sorry. Same thing. Christ died for us. Folks, this is too good. Ready? Too good. Oh, there's some breaking good news that's just come in over the wire. You remember when I quoted to you Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Now, probably most of you completed that verse in your mind. And if you didn't, oh, you're a candidate for its benefit this day. Here's the rest of the story. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, notice that word, of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, that's cause to go, ah. Ready? Ah. Oh, man. Back to Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Remember when I said the more laws you write, the more ticket books you're going to, the more lawbreakers you're going to have. The law was given to us to prove to us we couldn't keep the law. But, listen to this, where sin abounded, does sin abound where you live? Grace abounded much more. I love that. God is so warped. He's not balanced at all. Here in this state, you know, we got interesting things that come through. And right now, there's a lot of talk about balance, you know. Where you have yin, you need to have yang. Where you have feng, you need to have shui. If you do something bad, you need to do something good. If you hit a pedestrian, you need to miss one. You know? But God is not balanced at all. Oh, I love it. Where sin abounds, and it does, grace abounds much more. Folks, this is good news. Ready? Good news. But just so you will understand, I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If this isn't in your memory banks, put it there. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, I'm an old country boy. I was born on a farm in northwest Oklahoma, and us country boys don't look at that and go, that's nice. No, we look at that and we go, yee-haw! You ready? Yee-haw! Never thought you'd be doing that this morning, did you? Well, I've got to bring this to a close. Let me close the parentheses here. You know, my first parentheses were John 13:34. The new commandment I gave you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. Then I got off talking about faith and grace. What do they have to do with each other? Love, faith, and grace? Well, I want to close the parentheses in Galatians, chapter 5, and first read verse 14 and then verse 6. Paul says, for all the law, in other words, every attempt to work your way to heaven is fulfilled in one word or statement, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, now that's interesting. I mean, the whole of man's attempts are fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Whoa. But listen to verse 6. For in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love those words. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith. Oh, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Circumcision, you know, is a very real act that separated Jews from Gentiles. It separated the law from grace, the Old Testament from the New Testament. But what Paul is saying here is you may say, well, I read the law in the Bible and I'm going to keep the law. Paul says, doesn't matter. What? You may say, but I'm a New Testament Christian. I don't do any of those things. Paul says, doesn't matter. Then what matters? What counts? What avails? Here it is. Faith literally working its way out through love. So that's what love is. It is faith and grace at work. You see, until I understand His grace toward me and by faith receive it, then I have to mess with myself, you know. And I'm constantly messing with me. I'm going to improve myself. Oh, I need help, Pastor. If you just give me about 400,000 hours of personal counseling. I got problems, man. I have warts on my problems. Nobody knows the troubles I see. And we're constantly looking for somebody to bless us. But the moment we really see what God has done in our lives, when we receive His grace, we don't have to mess with ourselves anymore, and we can give ourselves to blessing one another. You see, you just get together and we all kind of wander around. I'm going to bless somebody. Is it you or is it you? I'm going to bless somebody, you know. Wouldn't that be crazy if we had several hundred of us just wandering around here? I'm going to bless somebody. Can I bless you? Can I bless you? You know. Well, above all, if you order now, angels are standing by to receive your call. You know, let me read this verse to you from Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, there you go, with which you will be able to quench all. Now, how much is all? The fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, folks, you know, if you have joined us this morning and have not actually asked the Lord to forgive your sins and take over your life, and boy, if you're here, we're so glad you are. There's no way for us to tell you how welcome you are. But you know, at the same time, I need to be honest and tell you how vulnerable you are. Satan has your coordinates, man, and he is a good shot. And about the time you think, I'm in charge of my life, boing, he hits you. And your tune changes to something like this. Well, nobody's perfect, you know. And the fact is, he's in charge. And here's the thing. We got shields here this morning. You don't have to leave here vulnerable, see? We got an ample supply. Now, I need to tell you that if you decide, yes, Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and if this is what it takes to get to you, and I just have to believe in you and receive your grace, man, I'm going to do that right now. Then you have a shield. And you know what? Satan still has your coordinates. But now you have a defense you didn't have before. He'll shoot at you and go, boom, you missed, huh? Boom, you missed, huh? Please don't leave here without a shield. In fact, you know, one of the things about following the Lord is that there is something really to do. There is an act of identification, of public statement that can be done in a number of different ways, and there's a way for you to do it even here this morning, and that's with this card that's on your table. And maybe you'd like to mark that bottom little square on this card that says, today I received Jesus Christ as Savior. Please pray. You know what? You will never forget February 2, 2001, as the day you got your shield. Do that, will you? Good. Now, you may be wondering where John White found me. You may be thinking, is he on a 3-day pass or something? And I've been having fun, and I hope you have too, but I'm the most serious man here, really. And I think you understand that. And if you choose to say yes to the Lord and say, all right, I'm going to do something that says it and mark that, you'll understand that. You'll understand. You'll find yourself going, ah, ready, ah. You'll find yourself saying, hey, this is good news. Ready? Good news. You'll even say, this is too good. Ready? Too good. You'll even let out an occasional, wow. Ready? Wow. You might even get just a little country in you and end up going, yee-haw! Ready? Yee-haw! And you'll know this is so good. I want to hang on. Ready? Hang on. Amen.
Thank you, Gail. The earlier we were talking, and a man some years ago that I was working with told me, he said, John, if you can show me a miracle today, if you can show me a miracle today, I'll respond to what you're saying. I'll do what you say. I'll invite Jesus into your heart, into my heart. And I'm thinking, oh man, I'm trying to think of some big miracle. And finally I said, okay, Arnie, what about me? What about my life? I hear stories about my past life at work. I don't remember if any of them were true or not, but it sounds like sometimes at work. I mean, what's so great about having the 44 years on the job? Most of the guys with stories are either gone or dead now. But I said, Arnie, look at my life and what God has done in my life. What do you think of that? He thought a minute. He said, that's a miracle. But you know what? He said, but I'm not going for it, John. I said I would, but I guess I really didn't mean it. So he went another 25 years. And then, laying in a hospital bed, I said, Arnie, we got one more time to talk. And he says, I'm ready now. You waited 25 years. 25 years of life went by. Don't let today pass. A week later, he was dead. And, I mean, that's close. Don't let today pass. Because the Bible even tells you when to receive Christ. It tells you exactly when to do it. You say, well, it does? Yeah, it says, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice. Today, if you feel that something inside saying, man, I need to do that. Today, if you hear His voice, do it. Because if you say no to Him today, your heart starts to become more hardened toward Him. It's a miracle that that Arnie gave his heart to the Lord. I'm going to just lead in a little prayer, just a simple little prayer that Arnie prayed with me. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart before, right at the seat where you are, pray along with me. Just the same kind of words that Arnie prayed. There's a prayer something like, Lord Jesus, I know I need you as a Savior. I don't know a whole lot about it, but God, I know I need your Son Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, you came and you died in my place for my sin. And you rose from the grave as you said you would. And so I'm putting my trust in you. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and show me how to live my life the way you want me to. Thank you because I've asked you right now. You promised that you'd come into my heart. So I thank you that I know you're there now. In Jesus' name, amen. My 2-year-old granddaughter constantly says, oh, Jesus in my heart. He'll never leave me. At 2. Anyway, there are some people here I know today that have been through some tough times, and you think, oh man, things are too far gone. I've lost too much. I've lost a family. I've lost. But God is in the business of restoring to you that which Satan has ripped away from you. And then he has a plan for your life. A plan that it will be beyond anything you can imagine. And I'm going to ask Morris to come up and sing these last two songs, and then I'll close in prayer. I want you to listen closely to the words of the hope that Gail spoke of that we have in that relationship with Jesus Christ. There are people today that did invite Jesus into their heart to become their Savior. Mark that down. You can put down on Jane's birthday if you want, or February 3rd, 42, that's when she was born, my child bride, 2001. But if you made that decision today, if you prayed that prayer, that is how a person, when Jesus said you must be born again, sounds very simple, doesn't it? But you know, God made it simple So a young man like this right here, so a young man like this right here can ask Jesus into his heart and live his life for him. So that my grandchildren can ask Jesus into their heart so that they can live their life for him. He had to make it simple for me. And so I thank him for it. Just invite him in and live your life for him. If you did that today, in this red box here that's going to be used for a number of things, I have a packet here. Come and pick it up. The packet in it is a New Testament and a few things in there. And take this, starting your first day of your life in Christ. Come and get one. If you invited Jesus into your heart today, come up and get one. Make sure you mark it on your card. If you folks didn't get a card and you'd like to make a comment on a card, I understand some of the people didn't get the white card. Just there'll be some out in front. And but anyway, don't hesitate to come and pick one up if you this morning invited Jesus into your heart. We'd like to send you a letter. Again, not put you on a mailing list, but we'll send you a letter afterwards. And we want to get a tape to Doug. So if Doug, you could get this worked out. And we want to send you a tape, too, if you'd like that. So we're going to close right now in prayer. And thank God for what he's done, Father. I just thank you so much for the ministry that's happened today. I just really feel that you touched people's hearts that were here. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of these at the tape ministry here that just year after year have been putting out over 1 million tapes a year. God, for their faithfulness, and bless them. I just thank you for the folks at these tables that have come here today to hear about you. Maybe they have questions. Well, Lord, help us answer them. I thank you for this young man here that he can be here, this fine young man. I pray that, God, that you'll just have your hand on this young man, that he'll become a mighty man of God. Thank you for him. Father, at each table, I just thank you, Lord, for the people that have come from a long way. I think of the faithfulness of Tracy here that has been in so many countries ministering in your name. Father, thank you for that. I thank you for Gail. For Gail and Morris, Lord, as they are both involved in ministry and they want to just continue it. Lord, use them in a powerful way. And Father, if there's anyone here today that has any need, don't let them leave here today without coming up, meeting us for prayer. Lord, thank you for what you've done. We give you this time, we give you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.